This episode, Stefan Haves.
Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.
I am continuously amazed by the guests that are joining for this show, sharing their insights and expertise and opinions and thoughts with us. And this episode is no exception with Stefan Haves, who has just a brilliant message to share. He has trained the clowns and performers for Cirque du Soleil and other productions across the world, so he knows what he's talking about. And of course, thankful for you for listening to the show. We are working very hard to release these every Wednesday, so very soon they will be on a consistent schedule, releasing a new episode every Wednesday. This episode, so Stefan is a... It's hard to describe. He explains it better than I will, but to give you a little bit of an idea, I met him through performing here in Los Angeles, and I took one of his classes, a workshop about clowning, but not like the typical what you're thinking of with clowns. It's about more of the philosophy of what a clown's job is and to connect with an audience and create that community between the audience and the performer. And what was most interesting to me was not so much the ideas of being on stage, but how relevant these ideas were to everyday life and how useful it is to think about those principles in your life, not just because I know a lot of people that are listening to this aren't actually performers or clowns or people who go on stage. And that's what I want this to really be, a valuable resource for people who do go on stage, but also people who don't go on stage and are just looking to make their life a little bit more awesome or better. Yeah, this is great. And so I literally asked Stefan two questions, and the first one was introduce yourself and let us know what you do. So that's the first half of the interview. And then halfway through, I brought him back to talk a little bit more, kind of relate it back to less about the performance stuff and more about life, using the principles that he's developed while he trains clowns from Cirque du Soleil and other major productions throughout the world. And so the second half is a little bit more about the philosophy of these things relating to your everyday life, not so much as performers. So if you're tight on time, skip halfway through. There's a little moment where we record this in Los Angeles, and there was a moment when there was just crazy sirens going. So I apologize for that. We just couldn't get rid of them. And Stefan incorporated into the conversation as was expected that he would be able to do that. So thank you for listening. This is the Chris Ruggiero Podcast with Stefan Haves. Enjoy.
Hi there, I'm Stefan Haves. I'm originally from Los Angeles, California. Was into theater arts and was an actor, and then got into clown work and ended up directing circuses for the last 15 years. Everything from Teatro Zanzani to Cirque du Soleil. The area of expertise that I have is clowns and characters. In working with clowns and characters, you work with non-actors a lot because you'll work with people who are acrobats, who are great acrobats, and have never done any kind of acting at all. So when you've been really, really structured as an athlete, to become an artist is a daunting, like, journey. And part of that journey is, like, what's the difference between an athlete and an artist? I think an artist brings heart to what they do, and through their instrument, their body, voice, speech, and imagination, they are not only executing great tricks, but with that instrument, they are telling a story with those tricks. So the big question is, how do you go from somebody who has been repeating the same thing over and over again to someone who can tell a story? And sometimes telling the story isn't all about being a really good athlete. So in terms of how do you do that? So that's the big question, how you do that. The first thing I had to do was I had to isolate, you know, what prevents people from being good on stage. And it comes down to adrenaline, and adrenaline is we all have it when we're scrutinized publicly. It's one of those things that we all either hate or love to hate. And the question is, how do you manage your adrenaline when you're in front of an audience? If you're an acrobat or you're a juggler, you just do your routine to the music, and just knowing what the next, using your technique and the hours of technique you put in, you know, you are able to give the finished product, which the audience likes. The question is, like, what is the technique of an artist? Because that's more amorphous, or that's more different. And so when you look at the technique of the artist, part of it is actually being able to manage my adrenaline. And so once I don't care that I have 1,000 people in front of me, or 1,500, or 5,000, or 500, or 2, once I don't care about that, then I'm able to communicate like I'm communicating to you, where my body's working, my speech is working, my voice is working, and my imagination is working. I'm able to communicate all those things to you. But if I was in front of a bunch of people right now and I didn't do this for a living, I might be tense. I might not breathe. So if I don't breathe, then I don't project. My speech might be a little bit strange or cut or doesn't really communicate well. My body might be more stiff, so the audience is worrying about me as opposed to following whatever story I'm trying to give them. So this is the instrument that we have, and when you get in front of an audience, they see you in a certain way. So we love that. Relaxation is a term people use, and another term they use is neutral. And so part of that neutral thing is not about being so relaxed that you're boring. You still have to use the excitement, the wonder of being in front of an audience, and actually that becomes, in the audience wants that attracts them. It's magnetic. So, and some people call that stage presence. So stage presence is really capturing your own enthusiasm or excitement on stage, at the same time executing what you need to within the parameters of the story that you're creating. So even if you're a juggler, or an acrobat or an aerialist, why are we watching this moment in time of this piece? What makes this one special? And so part of it, I'm a comic act designer, and I also work with these kind of athletes to find what's the arc of their story, you know? And so in finding the arc of the story, they may not be good the whole time, because it's almost like you're boring if you're too good. And if you drop, like in the case of juggling, if you drop and you are really good for 6 minutes and then you drop at the end of that without meaning to, there's going to be like, what's his problem? The machine didn't work. Like, it's like the machine didn't work. It's not like, oh, the poor guy dropped. So how do you bring the humanity into the physical prowess? How do you blend those two? You know, if you're from Russia or you're from China, you've been doing this stuff since you were 6 and 7 years old, not by choice, but you got so good at it that you are kind of a machine, and you aren't really given the out in case you miss. However, if you're American, you came to this probably after puberty, and you're never going to be able to be as good as the Chinese or the Russians at this stuff, but you do have spirit and you do have enthusiasm, and you do have the power of story, and that's something that these other countries that have circus as part of their tradition, they don't have, they don't make good stories with their work. And that's part of the reason that Cirque du Soleil became so popular, is because they were able to dress up this a circus, a regular circus, with a with very contemporary costumes, very good music, and a sense of story. It wasn't really a story, but if there's a little dork goes out and he's got big glasses, and then at the end he's juggling a lot of items, then the audience, he's the winner, you know? Yeah. Now, in usually in circuses, those are, those story components are left up to the clowns to do. And but Cirque du Soleil was able to actually bring in characters, and there was this kind of hybrid circus performer, which was very attractive to the audience. So
now there's a lot there, and I wanted to touch in on some of these things about this kind of the story, and the we talked about it in before, this community of being on stage and creating this sense of community is more important than the tricks. And something that I was battling was something that you haven't, a word that you haven't said yet, which was mind, and
the mind. Yes.
Which for me personally, my mind is typically not helping me.
Right.
And it's creating walls that sometimes aren't there, most often aren't actually there, but they're being built up and created. And what I wanted to touch into was some of these thoughts and ideas, if you have a couple ideas to share with people who aren't creating a circus show but are just living. Uh-huh. And so many things that you've kind of introduced to me really felt almost just as relevant to life as they do as being on stage and
right.
being a performer. So can you hint on, touch on a couple of the topics that you typically teach performers and clowns and entertainers, and how that can relate to people in their everyday life about just improving life? And we'll focus on being in the moment and being present rather than worrying about the past or future or other things that
right.
we create walls.
Well, going back to the technique, how are you comfortable in front of an audience? And part of the thing that you have to do, and this is something you can do in life too, and so that's what you're trying to, that's our crossover, is the mind is based on power, is based on ego, is based on comparison, is based on all these things, doubt and fear, and they aren't actually, the mind that we're talking about isn't in the here and now. It's worried about what you're gonna do, or I can't do this because I haven't studied enough, or I'm going to screw up. It's one or the other. So the mind, anytime, one thing that we look at is, and I go to meditation with this, but if I were to break down a way to look at the world and the things that I have to focus on, I've broken it down into six different areas. And one is the mind, and that's only 1/6 of what's going on in our lives. But unfortunately, we spend our whole the lion's share of our time in the mind,
yeah.
And we're wondering if we're ever going to be in love. We're wondering if we're going to ever make enough money. We're going to wonder if it's all anxiety. Okay, and the mind is really, really active in all our lives. The clown, when I teach a clown class, the clown's job is to get us all out of that negative headspace, to get out of the mind space. Now, the question is, where do I go when I'm not in the mind, because I live in the mind. That's my go-to. Well, we have to train ourselves to not make that your go-to. And how do you do that? You try to break it down, and I broke it down into five different areas in my life, which if I start to go to the mind, I go, nope, you're taking a holiday, dude, because I've got five other places I can go. And those five other places are, number one is the sky or the air. So my breath is probably the most important part of being a living organism on the planet. It's not about, oh, am I going to get a job in 2 weeks? But it's actually, when am I going to inhale again? Oh, how deep am I inhaling? Am I breathing at all? Am I aware of breath? How do I breathe? When I think too much, I'm not inhaling. Am I breathing down in the belly or in the rib cage? Where am I? So this is actually an important, because there's other things on this planet besides humans, and all they do is breathe and eat and, you know, poop, you know, whatever. That's what they do. Yeah. So the sky is important. So like when I meditate, I can think about the sky. I can think about clouds. I can think about the blue sky. I can think about my favorite sunsets. I can think about the stars. I can think about the moon. Now, once I start thinking about those things, now I'm not a slave to my mind. The mind is gone, and I'm an active human being on the planet. Not a social being in a city, but an actual, like, just a something existing here on the planet. So the number one thing would be, you know, air and sky. And then you go into Earth. And what does Earth have? Earth, anything I eat. When was the last time you really cared about what you ate? Did you really slow down and really taste things? Or do you just fuel? So you can think about things and think about how pathetic your life is, you know. So I got to eat quick because I got to keep in this mind place. So in terms of the earth, there's that. There's also just landscapes, beautiful landscapes that you can look at. There's also animals, and there's also human beings, other human beings who I can just observe. So when I get to that place, those are two, sky and earth, okay? And the third one is body. You know, am I really, you know, well, I talked a little bit about breath, but if I go, you know, oh, gosh, what is my body like? How does it move? Am I thinking about it? Or do I just ignore injuries? Or am I just starting to say, oh, what is that injury? What is that, you know? And starting to understand, get a kinesthetic awareness of your body, that keeps you out of the mind. Okay, so those are three really important ones: sky, earth, and body. And the other two are kind of weird. The one is love, which makes people uncomfortable. So what is so I can think about love now. What does that mean? That doesn't mean, oh God, my girlfriend, she broke up with me, because that goes back to the mind, because that's all about ego. That's all about wondering if you're ever going to have a girlfriend and live happily ever after. As opposed to, where's love? Who are the people that I love in my life? Who are the people that love me? Okay? Even if that's uncomfortable, because that's uncomfortable for me too. So now I can think of, like, what are places that I love? Like, summer camp. When I was 12 or 13, I loved this summer camp, and I can actually close my eyes, think about the river I swam in, and it makes me so happy. It's awesome. So anything that is, so what we're doing is we're rewiring the brain to be positive. And you know, people make fun of that kind of affirmation work, but your alternative sucks. Like, if you want to stay in cynicism, that's fine. But I personally would like to go through my day with an outlook that's positive. So love is important. And the last one, which is kind of a weird one, and I'm on the fence about it, but the last one would be soul. And soul is not looking at your life from a place of shame, sadness, less than, all that kind of stuff. But you look at your life as if it's a siren, let's say. Like, and it's like, your life is like like I was in that ambulance. I was born in trauma, and there was an ambulance that was part of it. But I look at things not from a vantage point of a victim. I'm not in the victim consciousness. I'm in a place of the storyteller. I'm looking at, wow, look at all of the circumstances that got me to here. It's no wonder I have trouble having a relationship. Because when you look at all the things that happened to me, wow. And I look at it not in a way of sadness or shame, but in a place of healthy detachment. I look at it as a witness to my life. I am witnessing my life. And that is a really powerful place to be. And if you're an improviser and you go on stage or you like to do that kind of thing, you know, you are always witnessing what you're doing at the same time. But you're not really that character. You're portraying the character. And that keeps me out of that place of, once again, coming full circle, of somebody who is too tense on stage. Because they aren't able to master the fact that I'm only telling a story.
Great.
So you just got a lot there.
That was... I only asked two questions and I had all the answers I needed.
Okay.
So thank you.
That's great.
Yeah, that's amazing. So for people that are interested, you do teach workshops here in Los Angeles. Is there any other
thing? Yeah, you know, I go all over... you can just go to www.stefanhaves.com and contact me, or contact me on Facebook, and I'm always willing to talk and get you into the mix of anything that I'm doing.
Great. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Great stuff from Stefan. Thank you for joining me and sharing your thoughts on this very unique perspective into the world, a very interesting background. And thanks again for listening. As always, if you have made it to the end and enjoyed this episode, share it with somebody, send it to them on a Facebook message, text it to them, whatever you do. You can listen to the show on my website, chrisruggiero.com/podcast. Or on iTunes or the podcast app or Stitcher. Pretty much, I think, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can get it. So let's get the word out there. I know there are endless amount of podcasts that you can listen to, and I can't express how much I appreciate that you listen to this one and care about the people that I am interviewing. And I'm doing everything I can to give you the most out of these conversations and appreciate you listening. So thank you. If you would like to support the show, go to betweendreamsclothing.com, buy a t-shirt. Okay. Thank you for listening. And goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero podcast.